Hello, and welcome to Plants and Things. My name is Katie, and I am a hobbyist gardener. We talk about all things plants, specifically vegetable, fruit, and flower gardening, and occasionally foraging. If you're new to this podcast, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. If you've been with me since the beginning, thank you for sticking by me. So I asked you all on Instagram what you would like to learn about, and you definitely answered me. So today I'm going to be talking a bit about tips for beginners that will kick off a new beginner guides to gardening that I'll be working on for the next couple of weeks. So the next couple of episodes will be going over different gardening topics that you may want to know that will help you be successful in your garden. Someone did ask me to talk about composting, so I do apologize that I won't be able to talk about it this episode, but for my next episode, I will be talking about composting. So if you're interested in that, tune in for our podcast next week. So the first thing I wanted to talk about that any beginner should know is that it is okay to make mistakes. It is so easy to look on social media and see all these beautiful gardens managed by amazing gardeners that have years of experience and feel discouraged. When you plant something and it doesn't look that way, it doesn't look beautiful and healthy like theirs does, or something happens and your plant dies. We are all on different journeys in our gardening experience. It's okay to make mistakes, we all do, but sometimes there are things that are out of our control. It's devastating to lose a plant or an entire crop, and feeling disappointed is definitely valid. I still do that whenever something happens to my plants. I'm disappointed, and it's easy to think, oh, it's my fault. But it's a learning experience, so mistakes are how you find out what works well and what doesn't, or even sometimes it may not be your fault at all. For example, like rose rosette disease for roses. I mean, even with pruning your roses, like, and doing everything right, you can still get that disease. And that's nothing that you've done wrong. It's just sometimes plants get sick, and that's okay. It's just important to recognize that and learn from it, and then work towards controlling that problem. I want you to know that you are not alone in that experience. We have all experienced loss or a mistake in the garden, and you know that's okay. There is a community of gardeners who are here to help and support you throughout your learning process. So the first thing I recommend you do is join a local gardening club and start researching. You are already doing a great job on that first part if you are listening to this podcast, because this is a community of support here at Plants and Things Podcast. There's a plethora of information out there to help you learn about the basics and get started in the garden. I've taken a series of botany classes that were a lot of fun, and I got to learn the science behind plants. But you can also use free resources like the things that are posted on social media. There's a lot of really great podcasts, YouTube channels, Instagram accounts, I guess is what they would be called, Instagram accounts, that will help you grow as a gardener, even if you are experienced as a gardener. I think that it's great to continue learning new things about your garden, because there's always like a really cool new plant that you could learn how to grow, or there's always a new technique that maybe you can implement in your garden. However, there is also a lot of information out there that can be contradicting, which can make it difficult for a beginner gardener, and I get that, because even as somebody that's been gardening for a while, it can be confusing. So while researching and learning is great, you may also have to do some learning on your own with trial and error, and that is okay. I have learned a lot with trial and error in my garden, and a lot of that is because we have different spaces and climates to work with in our gardens. The second thing I want a beginner to know is you do not have to spend an arm and a leg to have a garden. You can literally start with nothing and just plant wildflower seeds in a random patch of garden that you have, and boom, you've got a garden. It's a very low maintenance garden to do that, and it may not look as pristine as what you see on social media, but that's okay. If that's the garden that you want, go for it. I think that that's great, and wildflowers are wonderful for pollinators too. You can likely find a lot of free stuff to help you get your garden started if you know where to look. If you join a local club or gardening community, they may be able to help hook you up with some places to get free stuff like free seeds or seedlings, free compost or manure. I'm sorry, I have a hard time saying that word. Because my country accent comes out a little bit whenever I say that, and I try to pronounce it correctly. So I'm gonna try it again. Manure. Okay, please don't make fun of me. You can also find free supplies like pallets. I know some local companies or businesses may let you get their pallets that they're not using anymore, which are like those wooden things that companies will ship freight or things on like that. If you're not familiar with pallets, they're just basically wood and they're free. I've seen people make like composting bins out of pallets, which is pretty cool. My local college has a free seed library where you can get native seeds to plant in your garden that can be flowers or veggies. And honestly, I love that initiative and I love having that seed library there. I got some really cool seeds from there, like zinnias, and I got some basil seeds, which was really awesome. So you probably don't want to take too much though. There is a limit on how many that you can take from a seed library. And I do think that it's important to only take what you need or are going to use, just so that there's enough for anybody that would want that. You may also be able to talk to people that you know who garden, and they may have plants that they may want to share, because likely they may have started too many seedlings for their garden space, because, you know, it's better to have too many than too few, I think. And I think a lot of people do that too. I've shared seedlings with my friends and coworkers, and they share that stuff with me too. So it's definitely a give and take. And I love the gardening community so much because they're always like, everybody that I've known personally is so kind and willing to share and help. And it's a really healthy relationship, and I love it. I've gotten free mint, aloe, forsythia, crepe myrtle, rose of Sharon, and even a weeping willow from my friends. But that is definitely not all of the free plants I have gotten. My mom's shared a lot with me. You know, different family members may have shared stuff with me in the past. I've gotten a free pothos plant from a class that I took because the professor was the greenhouse manager at the college that I was taking the class at. And, you know, there is literally so many different places that you can get free plants from, because plants are pretty abundant, especially if you know somebody that is like really talented in gardening. Typically they'll have like stuff popping up everywhere, so definitely start talking to people that you know that have a garden, and you never know, like, just even showing interest, they may be like, well, if you're interested in this, here, take my plants, I would love to share with you. That is what I do accidentally, so if anybody is listening that I've done that to, I apologize. I recently saw my friend and I sent her with some quite a bit of basil because I had like 20 basil plants. I started way too much. Oops, my bad. But you may even be able to find other things too, like free topsoil from construction sites where they're doing like grading work, and they have like just tons of topsoil that they need to get rid of. So I see free topsoil posted online a lot from construction sites. The downside to that, though, is that you don't know what the condition of the soil is or what it's been used for in the past. So if you're not down for that, you may also be able to find free manure or compost that you can use too. We used to get cow manure from a local farmer and compost it for our garden whenever I was a kid. It was stinky, but it was so worth it because our garden definitely flourished whenever we did that. I also used to have goats and chickens, and I composted their poo, and it's amazing. It is really good for your garden. I have my raised garden beds in an area where there used to be goats, and that soil is like so loamy and like it is so healthy. So if you can know any farmers or know anybody that will let you help them clean out their pens and take some of their manure, then I definitely recommend doing that, because if it's free, it's just basically sweat labor or sweat cost, or what's that saying? It has escaped me in this moment, but it's basically just you spending your time to get that manure and stuff. So there's a lot of free stuff out there. You just have to know where to look to find it. So good luck. Hopefully you're able to. I know that like there's stuff on like Marketplace that's posted a lot, but even if you'd like join like those local gardening communities, they may like be able to connect you with people that they've gotten stuff from in the past. So good luck. You don't have to spend an arm and a leg, but if you want to, that's fine too. You may want to get everything brand new and buy, you know, like really good compost, and that's totally fine too. That is up to you, but if you don't have the money to do that, it's definitely possible to garden without all of that too. And I can speak from experience. It is possible to garden with very little upfront cost. So because we all have different spaces to work with, you should also start thinking about getting your soil tested. If you want to have a garden in your yard, getting your soil tested will give you a starting point for determining if you need to amend your soil. And if you do, what should you amend it with? Because it is possible to have too much fertilizer. And I know that you love your plants whenever you're first starting to garden, and you want to provide them with everything that they could possibly need, but it is possible to give them too much love. I know that sounds crazy, but giving too much fertilizer can cause toxicity in the soil and end up harming your plant. So getting your soil tested to know specifically like what you may need to add into your soil would definitely help you do that, to make sure that you're not over fertilizing, or even if like you're not missing something that you really need in your garden too. So the local extension office, or even they have tests online, would be a great place to look if you're thinking about getting it tested, which I highly recommend that you do. You can also do like a simpler jar test if you don't have the money to do a soil test right now. There's a lot of different resources online to how to do a jar test. You can literally just Google soil jar test and it will come up, but basically you just put some soil in a jar, shake it up with some water, and see how it separates out. I personally have a lot of clay soil, which means that I have to aerate my soil and add organic matter to it a lot. It's definitely a struggle living in Appalachia with all of the clay soil and the rocks. The amount of rocks, I cannot tell you how many times like I've started to dig and hit like this giant rock and I'm like, why? Why are there so many rocks? But I guess that's why they call us Rocky Top. So my soil is a lot healthier in areas where I have amended it with organic matter versus the places I have not yet amended it. behind our house, it is very heavy clay soil and not a lot grows there. There's moss. There's a couple of other things that grow there, but like I have struggled with amending that area because we don't really use it for our garden. It is definitely a to-do list. It is on my to-do list to work on fixing that, but it's definitely not on my like priority right now because I want to focus more on like things that I'm currently working in and growing in our garden. So if you have clay soil like me, you may want to grow things that need well-draining soil in a raised bed, or work on amending your soil to get that well-draining soil in your garden that you would want. I'll talk more about soil amendments and composting next week if you're interested in learning more about that. So the next thing that I want to talk about and recommend is taking time to get to know the gardening space that you have. So that goes along with like testing your soil, but also thinking about, you know, that is if you have the space for that, but you know, do you have a couple of acres or do you just have like a patio space? No matter like how much space that you have, you can garden. I want you to know that even if you do have like a patio space and no yard, that's okay. You can have a garden. I have some friends that have an insane amount of plants packed into a patio space, and I'm constantly impressed by how well their patio garden does. You can grow tomatoes, strawberries, different herbs, and even plant a plant as big as a sunflower in a patio space. Once you know how much space you have, you can start planning out what you want to do with that space. I do have an earlier episode that talks about garden planning that walks you through how I plan my garden. When you are planning out your garden space, I recommend you also take some time to get to know the plants that you're wanting to plant too. It may be helpful to pick out plants you want to grow and do as much research as you can on them, so that helps you plan out your garden space, because you'll have different like microclimates and soil types in different areas of your yard if you have a big yard. Or even if you just have like a small space, you'll want to think about things that can do well in a small space, in a shaded area, or even like in a container. It may, so when I was younger, I had the misconception that if you plant it, it shall grow. However, as I got older, I realized, oh, plants are different, because they're from different ecosystems and prefer different amounts of sun and water, and they like to have different types of climates and soil. So there are so many factors that I need to take into consideration when planning where to plant things. When I lived at home with my parents, I couldn't figure out why I was struggling to grow lavender. Every time I tried to grow it, it would die, but I learned that it was because it prefers full sun, and we just didn't have the space for another full sun plant where we were living. So I put it in mostly shade, and it did not like that at all. If I had taken the time to get to know what the lavender plant needed, I could have just saved myself a lot of time and worry. I'm sorry, my throat hurts a little bit now. It's times like this I wish I knew how to edit my recordings so that you didn't have to hear me cough, so I apologize. I will eventually learn how to edit my recordings so that you don't have to hear me cough whenever my throat gets dry. I have some tea here that really helps soothe my throat, because it's kind of exhausting talking for this long, like, without any pauses. Yes. So, I was talking about when I was a child and I tried to grow lavender. So now that I know what lavender likes, I have a very healthy lavender plant in my garden, and because I know what it likes, I can grow it, and it's happy, and it doesn't die, so I do recommend thinking about getting to know the plants that you want to grow, and doing your research on them before you plant them so that you don't make the same mistake that I did and plant something that's just going to eventually die, because that is so heartbreaking, and I don't want you to have to go through that like I did. So, no, thinking about like what you want to plant too can be a little bit daunting because there are so many different things to choose from, and it's kind of overwhelming whenever you like first go into a nursery and there's so many different plants. It's like, how do I know what to plant? Because I have experienced that as well. Whenever I went to my like my first big nursery, I was like, there is so much to choose from. How do I possibly know what I want? So I recommend thinking about what you want to do with your garden space. Like, what are your goals? Do you want to add like some color with flowers, or do you want to grow your own food? Or maybe do you want to do both? Like, I do both. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to do one or the other or both. It's really just like what you want to do, and knowing the why behind your garden can help you choose what plants to grow. So if you want to grow flowers, it may help to choose some of your favorites, or even find like native species that you can grow too that will help out the pollinator populations. If you want to grow food, try to think about things that you will use a lot in the kitchen or you'll eat a lot. I typically start with a list of what I eat the most of, and those go like in my top priority list for growing in the garden. I do want to loop back around though to the planning your space to talk about water a bit. Most water hoses that I've seen sold at like my local stores are like 100 feet. So it may be a good idea to plan for how you're going to water your plants. Because water is like such a valuable resource and it is so important for the health of your garden. So please plan ahead for how you're going to plant, how you're going to water your plants. If you're going to water with a watering can, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that, especially if you have like a smaller garden. But if you're planning a larger garden that is like going to be farther away from your house, you may want to consider getting a reservoir or something to help collect rainwater to water your plants with. I've seen some people that use very elaborate, expensive irrigation systems that help them water their gardens, but you don't have to do that. You definitely don't need like a very expensive setup that takes hours to build. You can use just a water hose. I use a water hose now, but when I was a kid, we used gallon jugs of water and ran to and from the house with water. It was really good cardio. I live in a temperate rainforest climate, though, so we do get pretty good rainfall, but if you live in a drier climate, you may need to carefully plan how you're going to keep up with the watering needs of your garden. Something that I love to do is use mulch, wood chips, or even straw to cover the garden beds to help retain the moisture. Bare soil will dry out quicker, and you don't want that in the summer because that can be difficult on your plants. If you go outside and you see them like all droopy and sad, you may definitely need to water them. But, you know, as you get more experience with your garden, you'll learn the different signs of what your garden needs. And this is by no means an exhaustive list of tips. This is just really the tip of the iceberg whenever it comes to beginner gardener tips. Hopefully this will help you get started, though, and, you know, point you in the right direction of, like, where you can get resources. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to chatting more about beginner gardener tips in the next couple of weeks. If you enjoyed this podcast or know someone who can benefit from it, please follow and share this podcast. When you follow and share it, it really helps me reach those who may enjoy my podcast, and I greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much if you were the one that reached out to me and asked me to do this topic, because I want to help those in my podcast community learn things that they're interested about learning. So if you have something that you're interested in, feel free to message me on Instagram or on another social media platform, and I'll be happy to help you. I look forward to chatting with you next week. Happy planting. Bye.